I'm here with Runa Islam, one of the artists in the Cinema Effect Realisms. And Runa, I want to ask you just a few questions about your piece in the show. And I think to start off, can you help me pronounce the title? and tell me what it means.
Okay, so I think the pronunciation is something that probably escapes me as well, because I'd learnt it by heart, and I think it's town, T-U-I-N, it's a Dutch word. And in fact, the birth of that title was quite long-winded, because originally it was called, I had a project title, and I was just using it as a way to like get the film in the lab, and I called it Fassbinder's Turn, because it was about this turning camera, and it was kind of also citing an earlier work which had the word turn in it, so that was like the stepping stone. And the lab in Holland sent it back as Fassbinder's Town, which, and I thought, well, what the hell does that mean? And T-U-I-N in Dutch means like garden or park, and I thought that was quite interesting how obviously someone had watched the content of the film and made their own reading of it. And then I sent it back as Fassbinder's Town, and it came back as something like Fast Bikers, like something. And in the end, I just snatched like this little like title, because I never really kind of go into work with an assumption of what it's going to be named. Since then I have, but this is like a work from 10 years ago. So
you sort of set the stage for what I want to ask next, which is about Fassbinder and sort of how his, I guess it was actually a made-for-television film, Martha, from 1974, kind of is a launching point for the piece that you made. So can you talk a little bit about your interest in that film and how you've used it in your piece?
Actually, it was kind of a chance encounter, because I watched it like one evening with some friends, and I only knew a couple of Fassbinder films before that. And it was actually more than it relating back to Fassbinder. I think since having made it and researched more about Michael Bauhaus, the DOP of Fassbinder, who's gone on to become Scorsese's kind of like long-term DP for many things like Casino and like all the recent stuff. He was actually working with Fassbinder on a lot of early projects. I think he worked on like 10 films out of the 40 like films he made in his short life. But that particular shot was so incredible that it just like knocked me for six, and I found myself like hijacking the remote control and saying like, I just got to watch that again. And I watched it like three or four times, and I was totally spellbound by the actual movement of the, and the kind of the way that the shot was constructed. And in a way, it seemed to have a really key point in Fassbinder's narrative. And he had himself, I think, kind of upped the ante on, you know, like Michael Bauhaus is incredibly inventive and quite pioneering techniques, but he kind of upped the ante by saying, you know, like, what can we do for this shot? It's a key scene. And he said, well, maybe we can make like a 180 degree turn. Which is kind of within the conventions of cinema to use this 180 rule, so we're already going back like 20 years, and of course that's been kind of demolished now and we've moved on from that. But then Fassbinder, you know, asked him, can you make it a 360? And it was, you know, really kind of quite, I think, quite spectacular kind of, you know, orchestration of what itself was a lot of theatrical, like you have to be very theatrical with the way you use this apparatus. And it's quite difficult to make something 360, because of course whoever is on the other side of the camera, there is no behind the scenes, because you have to kind of avoid everything that's behind the camera, so the camera has to spin, everyone has to run along with the kind of the machinery. So it's almost like this, I guess it's, I found it incredible because it was just like such a kind of carnival setup. But just out of, like, just as a point, I know that since I've, you know, found out about the year that the film was made, it was kind of on the back of, like, I think on the heels of The Bitter Tears of Petra von Kant, which was this really kind of confined, like, chamber drama, and the cameras kind of only had three or four places that they moved around. So actually in that film Martha, from what I've read, the camera crew were just like set loose, Oh, wow. You know, and they were allowed to go abroad, and they were filmed in Rome, and they filmed on location. So it was almost like a kind of, I think this kind of exponential, like, learning curve. So in a way, looking at Bauhaus and his relationship to Fassbinder, it was kind of this evolution of image making and describing narratives. And that's what kind of really captivated me, of how just like such a dynamic moment can kind of visually and graphically and narratively expose something. And yet at the same time, I felt I didn't really want to relate to the whole film. So I just kind of took this moment out of the film. And in fact, I would say that since having first made it, I think the emphasis goes back on the cinematographer and the process rather than maybe the whole kind of umbrella of Fassbinder that it's lived under.
It's interesting because I actually saw the film after I saw your piece.
Right.
So your piece kind of primed me to look for this really special moment in the film when the camera circle. It is, because I think it's when the two protagonists meet for the first time. So I was looking for this shot where the camera circled around them in, you know, full 360 degrees, and because I knew to look for it, and I kind of had known how you reconstructed and deconstructed the shot, I knew how it was done. But what I'm wondering is, first of all, when you saw it for the first time, do you immediately kind of go to a technical part of your brain and begin to think, okay, how did he do this? Or was it not until you made the decision to make the piece mm-hmm. that you really figured out the logistics of it? And then the second part of the question is, do you think that any kind of viewer, just sort of any person seeing the film, would really kind of recognize that shot as something unique, or do you feel it sort of blends in seamlessly unless you call attention to it?
I also think from the original place, you know, like the kind of original context of it being, you have to remind me when it was made.
1974.
Okay, so if you think it's mid-70s, it was incredibly groundbreaking. So I think at the time you probably would have been completely like, bowled over. But when I saw it, even, you know, like at that time, I also was just kind of like had this insatiable like thirst to watch as many films as possible. And it really knocked me in kind of, it just, as you said, like, does it send you to some kind of part of your brain where you start to unpick it? And I think it didn't actually sort of like beg the question of, you know, how is it made, but just how incredible is that? And I think from just being completely captivated by it, I decided that maybe it would be interesting to try to find out how it was made. And that's what sort of got me interested in the theatrics of, or the illusion of cinematic process. And previous to that, it wasn't so much like, I don't think I've ever made a work that's entirely about kind of the production of the image itself. So it's kind of the first work where I got interested in it. And then I also got kind of like fascinated about the you know, in front and behind kind of like this idea of at what point is it something really how does it preserve its own illusion, and how does it at the same time, the most preserved illusion has the most kind of theatrical, you know, like backstage kind of like some sort of, sorry, you have to cut.
It's sort of like a complex magician's trick. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
So there's a lot of
staging
behind
it.
So another aspect of the work is that it has three elements. And one is a film projection in color.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are two projections that are black and white video. And can you talk a little bit about the decision to sort of break out the scene into three different screens and the choice of using video and film and black and white and color?
The idea of the kind of three-part, portrayal of that one event, it came right from the beginning where I wanted to try and to kind of rehandle this moment, and I wanted to also, like I've said in the past, that it for me was like a template of learning, and I know that Fassbinder himself had learned a lot from other people's films, so he kind of quite openly cited and quoted and kind of ripped off, as they say, a lot of Hollywood films and genres and themes and directors, and I sort of felt that, you know, he was probably the perfect person to quote from, because there was no idea of authorship, you know, and again, it was something that he had constructed with somebody else, and I felt that this was my intention to try to, and as you said, both deconstruction and reconstruction, which is also another kind of pertinent remark, because it's kind of not one or the other, you know, like in when I first made it, a lot of people said, oh, it's very deconstructionist, and I felt that that was kind of not the accurate way to try to kind of consider the work, because it wasn't just a kind of stripping down of something and bearing the parts, and the reconstruction also, I guess it's not really only a reconstruction, and anyway, these sort of I guess impasses almost, because I didn't want it to be one or the other, so I always knew I wouldn't just remake it and present that, so I had this other kind of like layer of questioning, like what is it that I could bring to it, because of course I'm to some degree recycling a moment in cinema which ends up being quite a kind of paradigm moment, and I knew I wanted to bring something else, and that was kind of, I think, the sort of like tipping point for me, where it's actually kind of more an exposé of something that tries to give you many perspectives. So it was almost like I gleaned this kind of template, or almost to take it as an exercise, and I wanted to use it to portray how you can, you know, one, construct something that has got a total illusory and, you know, like illusory kind of quality, and I wanted to then kind of provide another perspective, and then it went from one perspective to two perspectives, because I was thinking of how there's two protagonists within that shot, and of course there's the male and female position, which I felt like in Fassbinder had kind of like within, like with all respect to his like really, like I don't know, kind of, I think he kind of the situation where it's this sort of classic idea of, you know, like male-female kind of inequality, and the woman is very much the inferior kind of victim of the sadistic man. And I sort of felt that it didn't have to be sort of only about this type of, like a kind of balance or imbalance. So I tried to rebalance or redress that issue, and I decided that the male and female perspective could be as kind of a duality, rather than the woman is dominated by the shadow of the man or whomever. And in the past I've also said that it's, you know, for me it sort of stands in for this idea of eclipsing, that the way the film, in fact, even though it's a totally circular movement, it still is given back to you in a linear way. The man eclipses the woman, and then you sort of see this like incredible revolution of the two figures, and then where she arrives, he leaves, so he almost like supplants her position, and I wanted it to be also a conversation between video and film, and that was quite important, because at the time I was just beginning to work with film, and I know that there was some kind of discussion about how there was no need for me to work with film, I could just work with video and it was cheaper and it had this kind of expediency, and I sort of felt that there was a really kind of pertinent difference between film and video, and that each medium should be used for its kind of innate quality, and I felt that film is like an indelible, you know, ink that you write it once, and I felt that to write something in film, it's really like an incredible theatre event that has to kind of be, as you said, like it's a conjuring trick, and it's there to provide this kind of, you know, prestige, And the black and white videos that you saw, I mean, of course, I've taken the color away, so, but they stood in for the idea of surveillance and the expediency, exactly what kind of I found maybe limiting sometimes about video. You see what you get straight away, and there's no kind of like kind of hidden expectation. You know, you can almost dictate what you want, and if you don't get it, you can rewind and re-record. And also the way that just at that point, these new kind of little handheld cameras that were really kind of held in the palm of your hand, so they were almost like prosthetic devices, had just been like released on the market by Sony, and the institution that I was studying at the time had a couple of these. So I decided that, you know, I would try to use this mechanism as a point of view, so that the kind of, as I called it, the theater of apparatus that's required by the kind of 16mm kit that I needed to use was somehow counterpointed with these really tiny little handheld, invisible, self-adjusting, self-focusing kind of objects. So the black and white, I ascribe that to, as I said, like the surveillance perspective. And the color is really to do with the kind of luminous, you know, like richness of the film that I wanted to use. And then the three dimensions, as I said, was the two perspectives, the male, the female. And then as you kind of get this subjective positions, you also get subjective position of cinema, which is in color, and you get subjective positions of the actors, but through their subjective positioning, they also kind of decode and kind of display all the theater. So I actually found it the perfect, it was like the revolution of three cogs or something, that through these three different vantage points, you kind of had this total expose, and yet it only seemed to re-enchant or kind of like almost hook you back into the fascination, because I actually find it, like, even though I've seen the film I think about 1,000 times because I've set it up so many times, I just find it insatiable, and I almost feel like it's not a deconstruction in the period of, say, structuralist filmmaking, where it tried to deny any kind of illusory seduction. So I was, you know, like, felt in that period you were always slapped on the face every time you tried to fall into, if you fell through the screen, you kind of like were slapped and sent back. And I think with this film, it's kind of readdressing it and rebalancing.
It's sort of interesting that you are answering the question that way, because one of the things that I wanted to ask you, and I think you're actually answering it in advance of the question, is do you feel, I mean, we tend to sort of think of cinema as something that you experience in the dark in a theater, or perhaps, you know, in the intimacy of your own home. And the museum is a very different kind of place and a very different kind of public experience and interaction. And I just wonder, from your perspective, can cinema actually exist in a museum, in a gallery space, or does it become something else? I mean, do you still consider your work cinema, or do you feel that you're getting at something cinematic in your work that equates with what one would experience in a theater?
I guess the work Chit Town or the garden, however you want to say it, but it sort of does live in that arena, which was kind of almost like laid out through the I guess what you kind of can caption as expanded cinema. And this was where the cinematic plane, the single channel like plane or screen, was like exploded and expanded in ways that you had the license to bring multi-projections into a non kind of theater based realm. And I think the art gallery is the perfect place for it, because it's about the movement of people into, you know, within, it's a circulation of people within kind of certain parameters, and within that sort of experimental, I guess, it's even like a room for experiments. And that's why some of those earlier works that I was making in with several screens, I really found that they could ultimately only live in the, they do actually only live in a place that can, you know, like almost that has a capacity for this kind of, you know, like, sorry, I have to reword it, but in a way it's as if the exhibition space or wherever you want to put it has to have the capacity to accommodate the multiple screens and the spatial kind of lack of restrictions. And actually with the this piece, I wanted there to be no central point. So there wasn't a place that you could even sit down, and I wanted the audience to be very much the agent of its kind of like existence, that through their mapping of the work, it would actually have the kind of re kind of cognition, like I guess like that you would remap a narrative. You know, so if you were fascinated with one kind of screen, then that would dominate your experience of the work. And yet, at the same time, these, like, you know, multi-layered, multi-narratives, kind of intertextual dimensions were kind of unfolding, but you could actually position yourself as you wanted. But actually, in all the multi-screen works I've made, I've never really wanted to work in a way where the screens are excessive. So even in that sort of idea of the expanded field of looking, each work and each like perspective, or each if you think of each screen as another kind of plane of looking, it's almost that it has to be integral to the core idea. So here it's the idea of the two subjective positions and the single objective position. In another film I've made, it's called Parallel, and it's about two, and the same film being shot in two different, same script, two different locations, so it demands two screens. We've never actually tried to make more screens just for the sake of it.
And so I guess one final question. I'm sort of curious about your take on what I could say is one of the main themes of the overall exhibition, mm-hmm. Or better said, I think it's better said, one of the main questions of the whole exhibition, which is, what is cinematic representation's relationship to reality? Mm-hmm. Maybe another way to say that would be, can you ever get at something that's real, or can you ever sort of capture reality through the cinema? Can it ever be mediated through a camera? And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
I think now it's kind of got so complex that, and I think you might have even said it yourself, but the way that cinematic reality becomes a reality of its own, and then it influences another purported reality, and then I think it's kind of got quite blurred in the sense that the realism that we might think, you know, stands in for something which you could call documentary or cinema verite, a kind of realism that counters something really constructed and fake or fictional or artificial, they're all kind of really questioned, because even a camera position is such a, you know, like it's such a limited field that it can't really take the realism that's in front of your eyes. So I'm surprised that, you know, there hasn't been a kind of technology which tries to record beyond even like panoramic, what's it called, anamorphic kind of filming, where I guess you're trying to replace looking or perception itself. So cinema, I think, is still always a framed idea of fiction or reality, and it's within the box or within the rectangle. And I think it's quite obvious that reality itself can't spill over these edges. And also, because of that framing, you know that there's many things that are outside that frame that could itself, you know, inform the narrative or the story or the facts. So I think it's like a creative struggle, really, or a kind of complex and creative, like a kind of investigation that that's why I think you're able to sort of continue making so many different types of, you know, like works. There's so many, like even in your show, there's like an incredible like 20 different perspectives with the same question at hand in a way.